World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
A little frog in my throat this morning. Maybe it's because I'm down here in sunny Florida, cloudy Florida, my wife just said, although it is a little bit warmer. And thanks for joining us, and I'm going to hang with you as long as I can today. This background, it's just we're staying in like an Airbnb, Michelle and I are. This is a great background. I was able to get myself in here. Let me tell you a real quick story before we're going to go to communion. So we get communion, get ready. By the way, I have the elements here, but can't seem to find it. Let me tell you the most amazing thing. Well, there's a lot of things that are amazing. As you know, I did half of the show yesterday on the way to the airport because we had to get there to get out a 9 o'clock flight or where it was. So Michelle and I get to the airport at 7:30. Pulled into the airport at 7:30. There were plenty of time because they told us that the lines at the airport was just going to be unbelievable. You guys have all heard that, right? TSA's on strike or whoever's on strike. So we scurry in there. We left ourselves 2 hours, whatever. And we get in. As soon as I get in the airport, my phone goes off. And I look up down text message, and it was Southwest Airlines. And saying, we regret to inform you or something like that. Your flight is, we're suffering a delay with your flight, and your flight isn't going to go out to 11:30. Now it's 7:30, right? It's 7:30. 12:30, my wife's yelling at me, 12:30. We're in Columbus, Ohio, in the airport, and we got to sit there for 4 hours. Just me and her. So I thought, are you kidding me? So anyway, long, long day. Can somebody explain this to me? Why is it when airports, when you go to, you book a flight at an airline, that they don't have to keep their time schedule? Sorry about the glow on my glasses. Can anybody else think of that? Like if you were to call somebody to come to work for you and they show up 4 hours late and there's no consequences. So we sat there for 4 hours, finally got a flight. Anyway, we made it. We had flew into Baltimore and we're here. And we were really late getting in here last night, kind of screwing everything up. We got an exciting day ahead. I was looking forward to it. I got some good stuff. I want to try to bang you with today. Let me get my phone here. And we're going to go to communion. And I have to, again, I apologize. I don't have the elements. I look for them everywhere. I know I have them, but I can't find them. And I'm just going to turn over. Hey, don't go away. I got some good stuff for you today. Don't go away. Joe, come on in, brother. Lead us in communion.
Thank you, Coach. Producer, if you could. Good morning, everybody. The reading today is Romans 4, Romans 10, 4 to 13.
I've looked.
For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The Lord, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
That'd be me, Joe. That'd be me. I believe that Christ raised him from the dead. I believe that. I'm saved.
That'd be me too. And I thank quite a few on this call.
Yes, sir.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Wow, that's great, isn't it? You believe unto righteousness in your heart. But the salvation is the testifying that I've accepted that. Christ is my Savior. So you get it in your heart first, and then it comes out of your mouth.
For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek.
Wait a minute. What? Read that again, Joe.
There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek.
Let me clean off my glasses here real quick, Joe. Go ahead, say that again.
For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek.
Got it.
That's because we're adopted.
That's because it's bloodline.
Everybody
comes under. It's Jesus' bloodline. It's Jesus' adoption bloodline. Yeah. Come on now. Come on.
For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Not just of one bloodline.
Amen.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Joe, I'm inquisitive by nature. What about those who don't call upon the name of the Lord, but were just trained in religion, birthright religion? Are they saved? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, we know that name, don't we? Whosoever does that shall be saved. Doesn't matter. I'm a Melungeon. I don't know what my lineage is. Doesn't even matter. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, that's the end of the reading, but that's the only name by which we must be saved.
That's it. That's it, brother.
In fact, I saw not
Catholic, not Baptist, not Lutheran, not Church of God in Christ, not, right? No, no. Only by the name
and
of the Lord.
And not Buddhist and not Muhammad. No, it's only Jesus is that name.
Amen.
Buddha.
And sorry, but not Jew.
Well, Jew isn't a name.
Nope. No difference between the two, it says. Jew and the Greek. I'm not Greek. Am I Greek, Joe? Am I Greek? Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I can't lie.
I was just trying to share that I saw a testimony once online of a man who died and was brought back. But when he died, he thought he was saved, and he was on his way to hell because the demons were taking him. And then he's when he told them he's going to heaven, they laughed. And then he cried out the name Jesus, and all of a sudden he heard something ominous, and then they cowered and hid, the demons. And the Lord came, and the Lord said, my word says I must come when you call my name.
Wow.
And I thought that was profound. Because even before, because he still hadn't gone beyond those gates, and he called the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So that was profound. And I think this is that verse. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with gratitude for so many things in our heart, for all you've done for us, for this amazing congregation that is so atypical of what one would expect. People from all denominations, all flocks, from west to east, from north to south of this great country, and sometimes a few international visitors. And we are grateful, Lord. We're grateful that we can learn and we can know how to be united, notwithstanding we were all raised with, from different perspectives. We all grew up in different places and were taught different things. But yet we come here and we learn together, and we are stronger and more able to be your ambassadors because of Coach and his calling and his being obedient and doing in his heart and his what he believes his spirit and you want him to do. And Lord, we're grateful that his travels were safe, notwithstanding that they took longer than expected, but that he got to where he needed to go. We are grateful for worshiping the one true God who gave his only begotten Son, that we who believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I know I say it often, Lord, but we really can't comprehend really what that means, though we do try. And Lord, I saw in the chat Tina Peters mentioned before, just before we went into communion. And you know her situation, Lord. You know that she is not legally in that place. She is illegally being in prison. She is a political prisoner in the country that normally gives refuge to political prisoners and offers it. But we have political prisoners here too. So, Lord, I ask that, and we pray that you soften the heart of those pharaohs in Colorado, keeping her there unjustly. There is only one presidential pardon that has ever not been obeyed, and that is this one. It is a fallacy with the Colorado and state and national, and it not being recognized because of that. That's a fallacy. There's only one that's never been recognized, and that is this pardon. So, Lord, we ask that you shake in Colorado all that can be shaken. And in this nation, too, shake it all, whether it's where it's unjust. Every organization, every tree, shake it, Lord, and let the truth come out. Help our family members, our friends, our colleagues, our acquaintances who have believed the lies and the media for so long. Let them see the truth finally. Finally see the truth and let them be set free. And so be with Tina Peters, Lord. Be with her health. Help her to endure this and give her a spirit of freedom, notwithstanding that she is physically not free. But let her remind her that her soul, her spirit, are with you. Let her put her burdens on you, Lord. So let her walk in that prison as if she's the warden, as if she's the most free person there. And protect her with your angels, Lord. And soften the hearts of all who tried to do her harm. Let them be unable to do her harm when they get within her presence. Let their hearts of stone be melted at that point so that they can't do anything harmful to her. And Lord, we're so grateful for communion. It's more than symbolic, but you commanded us or told us we are to do this in remembrance of what you did for us. We realize also it's a living covenant. The new covenant is a living covenant that we can participate in and we can participate in it via this communion, Lord. So we ask you to bless the bread and the drink representing your body and blood that was shed for us. We ask that you forgive us our sins and transgressions so that we come cleansed into your sight during this holy act. And we ask that you have this be the meal that heals for anybody on this call, has anything in their body or spirit or personal situation that needs your hand and that needs your healing, that needs you to help get beyond it, Lord, because we can't get beyond it ourselves. So we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thanks, Joe. I was muted there. Thank you, Lord. Hey, let's dig into some stuff here. Spencer, real quickly. I don't know why I say real quickly. It's a habit. Pull up. I sent you an email. Printable map of tribes. I just want to clean something up from the other day when we're talking about the 12 tribes of Israel. And again, hey, folks, this issue isn't going to go away. Jews, whoever they are. And we talked about the 12 tribes yesterday. Here are the 12 tribes of Israel around 1200 to 1050 BC, according to the book of Joshua. They're the tribes. So they were like states. That's where they lived, right? So, but go back up the top, Spence, and let's just do this real slow there. So there's Asher, Naphtali, Zebulun, Issachar, Manasseh. And look even in the divisions inside of all those. Look at those towns, right? There's Dan, Ephraim, Benjamin, Gad, Reuben, tribe of Judah. There's Hebron, Robert. That's where I live. Judah, Simeon, and the wilderness of Zin. Can I confess to you? I know so little about Christian history. Would you guys agree with me? Would you agree with it? What's the motto here? Who told you that? Why do you believe them? All of those tribes. What happened to those 12 tribes? Well, I'm going to give you a website. I'm going to give you a great website. Pull that up right now, Spence, if you can. I'm sorry, I'm working on two things here. Folks, I'd like to put this to rest, but this is not going away. It's not going away. This whole Jewish Israel thing is not going to go away. And so those of us who are here, we need to be informed of exactly what it is we're talking about. Okay, hang on, Spencer. Let me get back here, show you what I want to show. Okay, good. Pull up number six. I want you to pull up number six and number seven. I want to make you aware of two websites for your own good that you want to follow. Pastor Charles Jennings, who, by the way, is a supporter here at Coach Dave Live. And Pastor Charles Jennings is part of what's called the Association of the Covenant People. I can't tell you in five minutes what Charles Jennings does, defends what is, explains to us what Israel is, who Israel was. Put this in the chat. If you're curious, you can go look it up if you want to, all right? Charles Jennings. And then pull up his website, Spencer, British Israel or whatever. This is Truth in History. Folks, you want to get your mind blown, Charles Jennings, who's a supporter. I said that. It's a friend of ours. I've been to his home. He's been doing this for years and years and years. The truth in history. What's the theme? Who told you that? And why should you believe him? Now scroll down this page a little bit, Spence, so people can see what's going on. Put it in the chat so they can find it on their own. Stop. Mystery of the Lost Tribes. He does these powerful, powerful videos. If you really want to know, that's what made me begin to question it. Then St. Paul, Charles Jennings proves, I guess that's not the right word, proves that St. Paul visited Great Britain. When I went across the Caucasus Mountains, that's why we're called Caucasians. Uh-oh, wait a minute, racist, anti-Semite, right? Okay? And there are all kinds of videos. See if you can click on the video, Spencer. Oh, well, I mean, up at the top, I think it says videos, maybe. maybe it doesn't. I'm telling you the truth. They're Saxons, testimony. And the Anglo-Saxons, who were they? All of this stuff, folks. It's a wonderful, wonderful website. And pray for Pastor Charles. He's I've tried to get him on the show a couple of times. He lives out in Missouri, and it's just Oklahoma. Thanks, honey. Oklahoma. It's just tough sometimes for him to get up. So great website for you to find. Hey, you gonna go by they told me that? That settles it, huh? I believe it. Bible says it, that settles it. What's the theme here, Betty? Who told you that? Why do you believe it?
Boom.
Cool. Boom. I want to know the truth. That's what I want to do. So let me show you something that's really pretty cool. I'm looking on my phone here. Bear with me a second. So that website was Truth in History. Truth in History. Pull up the number one, Kevin Spacey. This is where we are, folks. Betty, do you come across these people where the facts don't matter? The facts don't matter. One accusation, and then the facts don't matter. This is really good. Very short, really good. Go ahead.
I used to believe that the truth would win. But if you kept calm, stayed quiet, and let the system work, eventually, the facts would speak louder than the noise. But I was wrong. I am here to tell you, with the authority that very few others have, that once accusations are made, the facts don't matter. They don't Amen. Want the truth. I mean, you believe in justice, don't you? Don't you? Don't you? Truth doesn't redeem you. It embarrasses the people who are wrong about you, and so they bury you even deeper.
Is that a boom? Is that a boom? Huh? The facts don't matter. It doesn't matter. And so what do we always say here? Who told you that, and why do you believe him? Okay, hang on. I'm going to open it up here. And a couple things here. Number five. What number five? This social media makes people unhappy. This is a happiness report. Scroll down a little bit on this, Spence. Finland once showed the world the path to happiness, even as heavy social media usage eroded. Personal well-being became among young peoples across the planet. Anyway, you guys can read yourself. Scroll down, and they're going to show you the happiness map. Keep going. Keep going on. There, look. Okay, here we go back. Happiest World Happiness Report. Happiest countries in America. Finland. Iceland's 2. Denmark. Costa Rica, 4. Sweden, 5. Norway. Netherlands. Israel. What? Luxembourg. Switzerland. Germany's 17th. The United States is 23rd in happiness. Maybe it's because we're so spoiled. China, Iran. Look at that, folks. Iran is 97th in happiness because those people were enslaved. Pakistan, Nigeria, the least happy countries in the world, according to the report, Afghanistan, Sierra Leone, Malawi, Zimbabwe, Botswana, I'd say they need the gospel. Wouldn't you? Hmm? And ask ourselves this. Are Americans happy? Americans got all this stuff. I don't think Americans are very happy. One more thing here. Hang on. And then I'm going to throw it open. This is from Tom Horn. And this is really good. Pull it up number two. You want to know why we're in the mess we're in America? The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Do we know that the Bible says that the kings of the earth have set themselves in a ruler state council together against the Lord and against his anointed? There is a deep state. There is a demonic state. There is the devil has a team. And how about this one? This was from Tom Horn. Did Tom pass? I think he did. The conspiracy sits right out in the open, Washington, D.C. And folks, spiritual. Kings of this earth set themselves spiritually. Watch what he compares here. Rome and Washington, D.C. It's very short. Go ahead.
The greatest conspiracy of all time is sitting out in Washington, D.C. It's also here at the Vatican. This is the ancient structural representation of the womb of Isis. This is the ancient structural representation of the erect male phallus of Osiris. Your capital city is laid out as a magical construct based on ancient Egyptian beliefs for the exact purpose of raising Osiris from the dead so that he could be incarnated within every U.S. president. That's the way the city's laid out. It's also laid out that way at the Vatican. It was dedicated to Osiris, Isis, and the sun god Ra. And when Sixtus the Pope brought it there, he tried to conduct an exorcism on it to cast the spirit of Osiris out of it before planting it in the center of the Vatican City. All right, there's a reason why the Washington Monument has a magic square in its base where a Bible is bound. There's a reason there's a magic 666 square above that altar in the house of the temple where I was at. There's a reason there are 72 pentagrams in their Gnosticism. They believe 72 demons control the nations of the earth, and they have bound them at the base of the apotheosis of Washington. This is the underbelly of the U.S. Capitol Dome. It's called the Apotheosis of George Washington, which means to become a god. The greatest.
Wow. So when we look around, you know, we could get into, I'm going to open it up here, okay? We get into end time prophecy. Remember this, who told you that, and why do you believe him? And there's nothing harder than to try to convince somebody who doesn't want to admit it. There's nothing harder. And one of the things we have is I think we've been programmed a lot of stuff that isn't true. And over the last couple of days here, what we've been doing here, I'm amazed at how little I know about, I guess we would call it Christian history, but it's world history, isn't it? The tribes, 12 tribes, the diaspora, where they went, the languages, the cultures, the societies over 2,000 years. Well, before Christ, even before that. So there's a lot of unpacking going on, and I'm going to tell you something. Ain't none of you know the truth. Not really. You got parts of it, but ain't none of you know it all. Okay, I'm going to shut up here. Come on in, P.S.
What African video have you seen with people at the bottom that have more faith than the countries at the top? Even the article's a lie.
I'm missing the point.
The article you put up with the happiness, it's a lie because everybody at the bottom, you see videos of Africans with much more faith in people than the countries at the top.
Well, yeah, lie may not be the right. Bias might be the best term. You know, folks, you can make statistics say whatever you want to. We all know that, right? But when you get right down to it, I think one of the points that I'm trying to make there, you really think Americans are happy? You run into a lot of happy Americans, and the things that Americans are happy over is stuff, natural things. I have a deep joy in my heart. The Americans used to have that. When's the last time you went around and just saw joyful Americans? You don't see much of it, do we? We got everything you could ever want. And we bitch about higher gas prices. We just bitch about our planes being late. Make us something deep there. Come on in, David.
All right. So last night I wore my asking an ex-trans anything t-shirt again. And we went to a pretty big candidates night, but before we went, we stopped for something to eat. And this woman,
David, what does your shirt say?
It says, ask an ex-trans anything. So I wear it everywhere now. It's my public ministry. But this woman comes up and she was reading the shirt and we got to talking and she agreed with me about transgenderism, about the kids being targeted, even about homosexuality. And then she said she was a lesbian. She said, well, I'm gay, but, and I know that what you're saying is true, but it's just the way I am. She was like maybe in her 60s. And she says, it's just the way I am now, and it's too late for me to change, so I'll just deal with it. And I was like, but you know that it's wrong. She's like, yeah, I know. She's like, I know it's because I said it was trauma-induced. It's a trauma response. And she's like, I know it is. She was like, and I was abused as a child. She's like, so I'm just, but I'm content where I'm at. And I thought, how sad for you, because we tend to think that ignorance is bliss, and it's not. Ignorance is bondage. It truly is bondage. It really is.
But you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, right?
Amen.
You know, it's the same thing. Words, life and death, the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. And I don't believe in the name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it gospel. But the reality of it is, I listen to how people talk, and they don't know. All of us, not people. We speak a lot of curses in our own lives. Do you guys really understand that? Michelle and I go round and round about that sometime. We're dealing with something with one of our kids or one of our friends, and we tend to speak the negative about it, right? Oh, I knew that was going to happen. Boy, I sure saw that one coming. Oh boy, boy, and amen, amen. And so then what do? We continue to praise the devil rather than out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, rather than not being name it, claim it, but speaking life. That situation is not going to be like that. That marriage is going to be saved. That marriage is going to be better than it ever was rather than, oh man, I know I saw that was gone. See, so it's hard for us because we have this carnal mindset, ungenerated mindset, where the things of the world, Jesus said, take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And we don't do a very good job of that. We speak out of our emotions. We speak out of our emotions. And again, I'm not a name it, claim it, grab it, blab it, but I call some people all the time, Dan, listen to what you're saying, man. Listen to what you're saying. Why would you ever, ever agree with somebody that they're homosexual? Why would you ever agree with that? David, didn't you tell me one time that your mom said, I'm not going to call you Paige. I didn't give birth to no woman. Isn't that what she told you, David? She didn't agree with it?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, like we weren't Christian, right? And she had my aunt was gay, and my mom had several friends that identified as homosexual, and it was okay for them, but it was not okay for her baby. And that was a non-Christian response. That was a real true mother response.
Amen.
She's like, no, I had a son. I did not have a daughter. You are David. I named you David. You cannot be Paige. You're
Amen.
David. And that's what, you know, that was actually the beginning, right, of my process, because that made me run away. But when I came to my crossroads, I knew that she was the only one I could really turn to because she was the only one that stood firm in that truth all of my life. And that's what compromising does. Compromising just completely ruins our witness. When we compromise and say, okay, Amen. I'll call my granddaughter John. When we compromise like that, we surrender our power and authority to ever speak life into that person again.
Amen. I agree. And folks, we do that out of what? Well, we want to show love. Well, really? So if you're trying
it's
to show
selfish.
Love.
It's actually selfish, coach. It's selfish to want to keep a relationship above wanting to save their eternal life.
Amen. Amen. So if my son, my daughter, whatever, was hooked on heroin, would I go buy them heroin? I'm more heroin because I love them and enforce what it is they're doing. And the same thing is, look, nobody really, I believe it to be spiritual. Nobody knows what makes somebody a homosexual. Nobody does. It's real. There's no doubt it is very real. But folks, it ain't natural and it ain't normal. And the problem that we run into is we love our children. And because we love our children, we compromise the truth with our children. We compromise it. And once you begin that compromise, boy, is that that's a hard road to come back from. And can I tell you the truth? That's where the American church is. American church won't call out sin. We won't call out sin. We church loves everybody, right? Jesus loves everybody. Everybody welcome. Folks, everybody is welcome in Christianity, but not the way you are. you can come the way you are, but you can't stay that way.
Can I answer Jack's question? Where did I go last night? I went to Old Orchard Beach where they had the gubernatorial debate last week. This week they had a candidates night where they had some candidates there. And let me tell you how God is the one that composes everything. We got there early and they were having their meeting. It's a group called Common Sense for Maine. And they were having their meeting early. And we got there early and they were like, and the guy was like, well, we're getting ready to have a meeting. If you're here for the event, you know, just so you know. And he said, but you know what? You could be our honorary guest. So go have a seat in the back. I'm gonna ask you to stand up and tell me who you are and why you're here. And God designs everything. I got to stand up and the 3 minutes wasn't even enough because then people started asking questions. I gave testimony to a room full of people last night. And then according to the brother that went with me, Jeff, I had more people coming up to me all night long to talk. I talked all night long. Even past the event, we were still there talking to me more than they were going to the candidates to ask them questions because people are starving for information and people everywhere are affected and infected with all of this trans ideation and the whole entirety of the LGBT movement cult.
Amen. Amen. And folks, look, we understand the dilemma because there are people out there right now who are watching this show that are estranged from family members. And usually it's probably estranged over you didn't agree on something or you said something that offended them or whatever, the rock of offense, right? But the fact that they won't talk to us, does that mean we shouldn't tell them the truth? That's the dilemma that we find ourselves in, is it not? We love our children. We love our family members. We see they're wrong. Are we not to tell them the truth? And can I tell you something? For 20, 25 years, that's what the church has done. Accept people where they are. And it just waters down Christianity, in my view. Johnny, come on in.
Hey, good morning. I think about what all of this that you guys are talking about in the beginning of how we let the grip of all these earthly things take us away from where we're supposed to be. And it's interesting you're talking about this today because the devotional in the Holy Bible app talked about the Sabbath. And it was really interesting how he said in there, and he didn't really say this, but all I can think about is static electricity right now. And how have you ever had to enter a room and they said you need to take your shoes off and then place your feet on this mat to ground you before you enter into the room? And it's kind of a metaphor. You guys are really making me think of how important it is. And I, for one, for myself, I admit that I don't practice it like I should. But the Sabbath is the ground.
Yeah.
You know, in a way that brings us back to where God intended us to be, because we're getting so distracted by everything. And this is what I'm hearing in this conversation today. It's like when you go up in an airplane and you've been flying all around the world, the country, and when you come back and you land on the ground, what's the first thing that the airplane does when they land on the ground? They connect it to the ground. They ground.
That's true. Yep.
You know what I mean? Kind of crazy what I'm saying, but
no,
in
doesn't.
A way,
yep.
In a way, we need to do that. And, you know, I need to start taking the Sabbath more seriously, because if we're not grounded in Christ, we're just floating around out there.
Mm.
You know,
fall for every delusion that comes down the street, thinking that although we love our children, folks, you wouldn't love your child and encourage your child in drug abuse, would you? You wouldn't love your child or support your child and encourage them in viewing of pornography, would you? Well, why is it that we take these sins of the flesh, which is what they are, and we're afraid to be honest about it? We want to set them free. You don't set them free by encouraging them. Now, look, it's a fine line. I don't have the answer to it, right? But most of modern Christianity, they won't stand up and say, they won't speak the truth. Say, everybody welcome. Come on in here. Really? Everybody's welcome in your Sunday morning service? Hmm? The devil worshipers, they're welcome here. Those who cast spells, they're welcome. What do you mean everybody's welcome? And this whole idea of I'm okay, you're okay, has kind of gotten us to where we're. I'm kind of struggling, not struggling. We're going a lot of different directions here. Folks, this is all about information and knowledge. Who told you that, and why do you believe them? I was born gay. Who told you that? Why should I believe it? Right? I don't doubt something went on there. I don't doubt what it is. But it's sin. It's sin. I don't know about you guys. I have a tendency to be a glutton. Anybody else out there? I don't promote gluttony. I try to control it. I don't encourage others to eat until you puke. Why would I encourage somebody else to do that? That's why in the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. And we need to, David posted, we need to stop worrying about offending them. We love them, we'll tell them the truth. Jeff Klein, come on in.
Coach, just on another note here this morning, we hear all this doom and gloom and stuff going on, the craziness. I just want to bring this up this morning. And I don't know if he said anything yet, but just the healing that David Arthur's mom got, the touch, the prayers just went out for her health. She's doing so much better. They still want to get out of Maine. So now she's able to travel probably here soon. So we're still looking for a place here in Ohio, a mobile home or a house or something for David and his mom to rent. So, but just, I was glad to hear the good news about David's mom. That was great.
Amen. Glad to hear that too, David. See, here's another thing that David, I didn't know Dave's going to be in. Let me share this real quickly. He has to register as a sex offender. Now let's ask ourselves this, folks. Should that follow somebody the rest of their life? Should that mark be put on somebody the rest of their life? And how many of us out there are potential sex offenders? Come on. And because David's a sex offender with his mother living with him, he's taking care of his mother. You can't just get a house just anywhere. You just can't. No, look, nobody wants a predator in their neighborhood. I get that. But at what point are you washed clean of that? At what point does that tattoo no longer follow you? What do you think, David?
Yeah. You know, I always thought you do a crime, you do your time. And that's, you know, and you're supposed to learn from it. I mean, we have a system where they really don't, but the system is designed to make them keep coming back. But, you know, perversion is something that you need deliverance for. Once you receive deliverance, once you're washed clean, none of that matters. And I tell you what, I would want to know if there was a murderer living in my building. I'd want to know if there was a wife beater living across the street from my sister or my daughter, you know. And so we don't have murderer registries and wife beater registries. And so, I mean, really, why? And a lot of places, they're trying to do away with it, but for the wrong reasons. So it's like I'm kind of caught in the middle. But one of the things about this is that was almost the second or third thing I said last night in front of a room full of people. I was like, and if you don't believe me, my proof is my past. I'm a registered sex offender because I was sex trafficked and because I helped my handlers traffic other youth. I said, yeah. So, you know, this is where it comes from. I'm like, this is the perversion that they're targeting onto your children and your grandchildren. And this is what they want for them. They want them to be so perverted that they see nothing wrong with it. And the ironic thing about this is when I was trying to be a quote unquote gay Christian, they didn't have any issue. The left had no issue with me being a sex offender. It was when I renounced homosexuality that they were like, oh, but he's a sex offender. He's a registered sex offender, you know? And so that seems to be one of the major things, even in the political realm, even in the church. It's like they don't want to be associated with someone who's a registered sex offender.
So, David, here's the truth.
They don't believe in redemption.
And folks, all lies are destructive. That's why we have the Ten Commandments. People are destroyed by lying, bearing false witness, right? People are destroyed through adultery. People are destroyed through, just take the last six commandments, coveting, all of it. And it seems that the acts of the flesh tend to get more attention than, right? The acts of the soul. I'm not saying they shouldn't rest. I don't know the answer, Dave. I don't know how I got on that, but that's the only thing that
I've always said that predators, that there should be a registry for predators. It's like when I lived in New Jersey, I wasn't on the online registry because they only put like level 3, level 2 on there. And I'm like a no risk according to them. And the only reason that I'm a lifetime registrant is because I don't live in the state that I was charged in. Because I moved to Maine from out of state, that automatically makes me a lifetime registrant. But I'm very hopeful about getting to Ohio because I have a sitting judge on my side there who wants to help me, one, first get my right to carry back, and then two, work on getting me off of the online registry. So
amen. Let me move on here, Dave. Adam, come on in. I'm going to have to cut it off here in about 5 minutes. I'm going to have to scoot. Come on in, Adam. Hey, Adam. Adam,
yes.
How'd you like to host on Monday?
That would be awesome, except for I will be at work. So I don't know.
Go ahead.
I could take off work if you want me to do it for you.
Well, it's up to you. We'll talk later, brother. Go ahead.
Okay. When people tell me that they were born gay, I would say, okay, well, let's say that's true. Let's just say that's true. What do you do if a baby's born with cancer? Do you just accept that that's the way it is and just let the baby live until it dies? And they say, well, that's not a good analogy. I said, no, it is, because sin is cancer. And so we are all born with the propensity and the ability and the wantingness to sin. And so we have to fight every day to be overcomers of our sin. And homosexuality is no different, in my opinion. So that's what I tell people.
We call them what? We call those sins of the flesh, right? Oh, boy. Remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It all begins in the heart. That's why the Bible says, create in me a clean heart. Clean heart. Temptation's always going to be there, friends. It's always going to be there. The temptation. See, you look, guys that look at porn, they don't see that as committing adultery. They see it as looking at pictures, but they don't understand the internal destruction that it does. People say child pornography, we got to lock those guys up. Well, child pornography, nobody in their right mind would do that, would they? What do you mean? Why would somebody be drawn to child pornography? Well, it's a spiritual issue, my friends. And this is deep and demented, for sure. Jeff Nares, come in.
Well, since we know that Jesus said that if a man looks upon a woman with lust, he's committed adultery already with her in her heart,
yep,
in his
heart,
right? Okay, so that means, I'll speak for men anyway, that means every single man is a pervert, every single man, because everyone has had thoughts run through your mind like, oh my gosh, what, I mean, why did I think that? What am I, because you imagine things for a second out of curiosity, or you imagine, or you see things, or you, things come across your mind, and get, so, okay, so does that mean you're perverted or deviant? No, it means that you were deviated for a moment.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you went, what's deviation mean? It just, you're off track. You know, you're off the course. You're deviated.
The standard, and, so that's good, Jeff. A standard deviation in math is a straight line. And when you get off the straight line, they say you have deviated, right?
Yep. So we've all, so all of us have that.
That's right. We're all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? Yeah. And it is what it is. What it is. Anybody, Randy?
Yeah, Coach, you know, there's a difference between a pretty woman walking through the room and man's eyes following her. But then when he gets up and follows her out, now he has a problem. So he's going to walk in sin. But so, Coach, that's why Paul writes that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Right.
See, you may come into the kingdom a liar, a cheat, a murderer, whatever. Look, God can save anybody. But if you continue to practice that, you will not come into the, stay in the kingdom of God. So we, everybody's welcome in, but if you don't let him change you at the door, if you continue practicing it, you will not partake in the things of the kingdom. And that's what God, that's what Paul teaches, Coach.
Amen. Amen.
Here, and Coach, if I can say one more thing.
Sure.
And a thing to check yourself is when a glance turns into a gaze, there's your checkpoint.
Yeah, you got to bounce your eyes, yeah. Right? Right? Say, I'm saved, I'm not dead. those aren't the same things, man. Amen. Where am I here? Pardon me a second. Anybody? I'm going to have to scoot. I'm going to jump off here early, cut it down a little bit early. Stay here in the chat, do what you want to do there, and just pray for a successful weekend for us here. Successful trip home. Am I doing okay with that, Spencer? We're able to just kind of pop out of here now without doing that. Appreciate all of you, man. Pray for us. We'll pray for you. God bless. See you on Monday.